ministry training, and today we're going to do how to win a soul to Christ. Last week we talked about how you can't really win a soul. The Lord has to do it, but this week we're going to just kind of teach you the how to, and we'll just start at 1 John 5:13. That's where I usually start with the gospel. Bible commands, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a command of all of us. Every Christian is commanded to go. Every Christian is supposed to be a soul winner. Bible says, be ready always to give an answer to him, ask the reason of the hope that is in you. We're supposed to, we're trying to get the temperatures right, but it's fine. No, that's all right, go ahead and close it. All right, so go ye into all the world. You're commanded. We're all supposed to be ready to be. We go out. We go door to door. We go in the streets. We go everywhere. But also, a lot of witnessing opportunities everybody has. Even if you don't never knock on a stranger's door, you have neighbors. You have family. You have people you meet. You have acquaintances. You have people you're sitting next to. If you are prepared and want to win souls and are praying for the Lord to do it, He can send them to you. And you can have opportunities to witness, and you need to be ready. What a terrible thing if there's that moment of time when somebody's open to the gospel, and you are not able to give it to them. And so we want to be ready always, as the Bible says. And so we're teaching just the mechanics of it. And what I'll do today of just how to present the gospel is all this is how to present the gospel. I want to say that we're going to do a kind of a basic person, just what you'll typically run into in America. Use different methods. Sometimes I use different methods. Now, some people, I've been blessed to go with a lot of great soul winners, and whenever I found somebody who's an exceptional soul winner, I ask if I go out with them and watch them, and I've been with just some of the best. And some of them do the same way every time to everybody. I don't do that. I think that sometimes you need to go focus on certain things, but there's certain elements that are always in there. And you want to get with everybody. So I'm going to give you a real basic where basically somebody is from a Christian background of some sort, whether that's Catholic or Christian or Protestant or whatever. They're in the Philippines, they're in America, they're in some country where they've kind of heard about God, they've kind of heard about Jesus. And of course, a Muslim country, a little different, obviously. Who Jesus is, it has to be addressed a whole bunch more. So when I present it today, I'll present it pretty normal without a lot of problems, without a lot of complications, and just a couple methods that we use to keep us on track and keep us help us to get through it. The devil does not want people saved, and so there are many things during the process that might happen that they might sidetrack you, that if you don't know how to deal with it, it might really affect you. Okay, let's go ahead and read 1 John 5:13, and let's read 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so that is, that's where we'll start. Let's go ahead, we'll pray, and then we'll present the gospel. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to witness to somebody. I thank you that we have those chances. Thank you. The angels desire to look into such things, but you made us the ambassadors. And Lord, we're the weak link in the chain. You have all power, but we have to go. And I pray we'd go, and I pray to be ready. And I pray that we would have your wisdom today. You'd help us to present the gospel like you'd like us to present it. And you give each one of us wisdom and some ideas of how to present the gospel and how to win a soul to Christ. And maybe be ready, Lord. Please help us to be done in a godly way, and give us your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I needed a sinner, so I picked Jeremy here, and Jeremy's my sinner today. Let's see. Come on up over here, Jeremy, and we're going to talk to Jeremy. And Jeremy is our sinner of the day, and we're gonna witness into him. let's just say I knocked on his door, and he's standing at the door. I'm talking to him. It could be I'm sitting next to him. It could be many, many circumstances, but we're talking to Jeremy. So, how you doing? My name is Joel. I'm from Open Door Baptist Church. We're just out talking to folks. What was your name?
My name is Jeremy.
Jeremy. All right, Jeremy. Good to meet you. Good, Jeremy. Do you go to church anywhere?
Yeah, I go to a really nice church. It's called Open Door Baptist Church. I really like it.
So I thought, Jeremy won't be a ham when I do this. Every time there's a ham. And so Jeremy goes to church. You go to church occasionally, once in a while. He went as a kid. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jeremy goes to church once in a while, and he went as a kid. And so I'm kind of thinking, okay, he's got a little church background. Now, that's most people. Most people go to church, went to church, been on Easter, been on Christmas. They're holiday Catholics. They're Christians who grew up and went there till they're 12 or whatever. I mean, that's kind of Americans. They're just kind of, they go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel, but they don't tell people how to be saved, but they preach the Bible sometimes, and they've told about Jesus, and on Easter it's hard not to tell about the resurrection and all these things. So that's a typical guy, and so that's him. And so good. I'm glad to go to church sometimes. Now, what we're talking about today is the most important thing. It's how to know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. Jeremy, do you know for sure if you died today you go to heaven?
Well, I sort of think so. I'm not completely sure. I think I can get to heaven.
Okay. Now, this is the thing. It's universal. It's universal. It's everywhere. Doesn't matter if you're talking to Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. Doesn't matter who you're talking to. Doesn't matter if it's a Catholic. Anybody who's not saved, the devil has told the same lie to. Okay? It's universal. You can go anywhere in the world. They'll tell you the same thing. The devil's lie is always the same thing. You get to heaven by being a good person. Okay? Always, 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 always. They'll say that in 50 different ways. Okay? They say that in a lot of different ways. They'll say it in this way, that way, the other thing. It doesn't matter. Every religion and non-religious people believe the same thing. The only one that's different than that is Bible Christianity. Okay? And so they're going to say to me, I already know it. I already know what I'm going to ask them about going to heaven. I already know what they're going to say. They're going to tell me in one form or another, I think I'm going, I'm sure I'm going, I'm pretty sure I'm going, unless they're saved, they'll say, because I'm a pretty good person, I do good things. Now, understand this, you almost never, ever, 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 ever meet someone who says, I'm not a good person, I'm not going to heaven. Very, very rare. The Bible says, every man will proclaim his own goodness. Okay? It's funny, whatever the level that you have to reach to think you're going to heaven, they have always reached that. Okay? Doesn't matter what that level is. I've had people say, well, I don't kill people. That's good. It doesn't matter what your level is. They will always have, the devil will always tell them, the level is being good and you're a good person. Always, always, always. Doesn't matter if I'm in the jail ministry. Doesn't matter if I'm talking to a murderer. I mean it. At least I didn't torture him to death. It does not matter. They're gonna have a level been set in their mind, and they're just above that level, so they're pretty sure they're going. Once in a while, you'll find a really religious person who says, oh, I know I'm going. I'm a really good person. Okay, but that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to heaven because I'm pretty good. Now, we know the Bible says the opposite of that. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and all the things the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But that's man's religion. That's humanism. It's the way of the devil tells us. It's the same author of the same lie. And so it doesn't matter where you go, they say the same thing. So I'll say that's, and so. You'll tell me, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm going to go because I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I think I'm an okay person.
Okay.
I'm doing good stuff. Okay. Not murdering people or anything.
Not murdering people, that's good, because if you murder people, I'm going to let somebody else talk to you. And okay, that's good. I'm glad you don't kill people. And they'll throw in whatever their level is. I'm nice to my family. I go to church. I've been baptized. They're going to throw in something like that. Whatever they've convinced, or the devil's convinced them that line is. They're going to throw in their lines of, you know, I'm a hard worker. I give to charity. It doesn't matter what it is. Just whatever the devil told them, that's your line. They're going to throw that in. And it doesn't really concern me very much. Whether they go to church every Sunday and say it's because I've been baptized or I've been a good person, or whether they say I don't kill people, it doesn't matter. It's the same result, okay? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to them very carefully. Not to figure out if they're right or wrong, because I already know what they're going to say is if they're not saved. If they're going to say anything but Jesus Christ is my Savior, if they're going to say anything else, I already know what they're going to. It's going to say work salvation, but I want to remember what they said. Okay, they might say, let's say Jeremy says, "I'm a good person. I don't kill people, and I go to I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor as myself. I do good to others." Okay, pretty typical stuff. So he says all that stuff to me. So just say that. I go to church, I do good to others, and I'm a nice guy.
I go to church a lot. I don't kill people. I'm a nice guy. I try not to beat up my brother all the time. So I think I'm an okay guy.
Okay, good. All right, so now I get in my mind, he said four or five things. I'm going to remember that. We're going to get back to that later. That's important to remember what they say. I always have them tell me why they're going to go or not go, and then I'm going to remember what it is because we're going to bring it back later. Because I'm going to contrast it to the Bible, okay? So, you know, the good thing is, Jeremy, you don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You said you think so. But the Bible says you can know. Now, the first verse I usually use is 1 John 5:13. Now, it says right here, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." God loves you. He wants you in heaven. Now, I want them to know right off, I'm not condemning them. We're giving them good news. Because the gospel, the word gospel means good news. That's what it means. Okay? That literally means good news. So I'm going to give him good news. I want him to understand this is great. This is positive. We're going to come to some bad news in the process of getting to the good news. But I want to understand there's hope. You can know you're going to heaven. So Jeremy, there's a good thing is the Bible says right there, you can know you're going to heaven. The Bible was written to know. So God wants you to know you're going to heaven. It's a crazy world. You don't know when you're going to die. So it's good to know for sure you're going to heaven. Okay? Now, I'm not going to ask him if he wants me to show him. Okay? I've been with many souls to do that. Would you like me to show you how to know if you die today, you go to heaven? Well, why ask? They'll tell you if they don't want you to, you know? And they might say, well, the football game's on or whatever. I've got the most important thing they will ever hear. So I just say, there's four things in the Bible, Jeremy, that you have to know to go to heaven. They're real simple. You've probably heard several of them before. You've been to church before. You'll know several of them. And the Bible shows you those things. And they're real simple. I'll just give them to you real quick. The first thing you have to know is to realize you're a sinner, okay? So first thing we do is we deal with sin, okay? Now, the verse I use two verses here, Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. The Bible says, Jeremy, the Bible says that everybody's sinned. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's something I do now more often. People don't know what sin is anymore. We're getting to be such a Bible illiterate nation. I ask them, and most of the time they do. I'd say 90% of the time they do, but I'll say, do you know what a sin is, Jeremy?
Yes. Doing something really bad like murdering people and robbing banks and such?
Yep, a sin. Anything. Now, more normally they say, oh, you know, whatever. Lie, steal, cuss, murder, anything like that. Doesn't matter. I just want to make sure they know what a sin is, okay? And if he says something like that, robbing banks and murdering, I'm going to say, and also lying and cussing, because I want him to get in this boat with the rest of us, okay? Because he might not have robbed banks and killed people, okay? And so I'm going to make sure he knows what sin is. Now, I want to say, most people know they've sinned. Most people never have a problem with this. On one hand, the people I've ever met, and I've witnessed a tens of thousands of people that didn't know they've sinned. I remember the one guy, his wife is in the background, and I went and asked him, I've told this story before, but I asked him, I said, you know, do you know you've sinned before? He said, no, I've never sinned. And I said, you've never sinned? He said, no, I've never done anything. I've never sinned. I said, can I ask your wife? He says, never mind, I've sinned. Most people know that. And so that's easy. So I'm just going to get him established. So it's lying, stealing, cussing. And the Bible says this, all have sinned. That includes me. Now, in everything I do, I'm going to include me first because we're this hypersensitive society. Don't judge me. Okay, that's what we are. So I always include me first. And so I've sinned before lots of times. I sinned by the time I was a little kid. Jeremy, ever sinned before?
I guess so.
Okay. That's you guess or you have?
I suppose I have.
Yep. Okay. So he's a sinner. We got to establish him as a sinner. We want to get him as a sinner. Now that's true of everybody. There's only one person who's never sinned. That's Jesus. Okay. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned. I've sinned. That's the first thing you have to know. You're a quarter of the way there. Second thing's a little harder. This is the hard thing that people, the hardest thing people understand. There is a punishment for that sin. Okay. The Bible says, and then I go to Romans 6:23 normally here. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Okay. Now what I usually do here is I take them to the story of Adam and Eve. That's the most common thing I do here. I'll say, Jeremy, in church, you ever learn the story of Adam and Eve?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death there. Adam and Eve were told in the day they ate the fruit, they were going to die. Okay. And so they ate the forbidden fruit. They didn't die physically, but that day they died. they were separated from God, and God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. Now, how many sins did they commit to be kicked out of God's presence?
Only one.
One. So the Bible says here, the wages of sin is death. Now, the Bible says, all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm gonna just spend a little time getting them lost. Here's the key. You have to get them lost before you can get them saved. They will never get saved if they don't get lost. If they do not need a Savior, they will not trust a Savior. Okay? If they think that they can get to heaven by their church or by their religion or by themselves, by good works, they will never trust Christ. Okay? So, now, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the hard thing to realize, Jeremy. You might be a good guy in my eyes. I might be a good guy in your eyes. And we might think we're good people. But God has a different idea of good. And as we saw with Adam and Eve, one sin made them kicked out of his presence. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the glory of God up here. Here's heaven. Here's where God's expectations are. And there's bad people. There's people way down here. And they are... This is Hitler. This is the mass murderers, the worst people. Then there's some people who just do bad things. They're criminals, and they do all kinds of bad things. And there's just the average person who doesn't do too bad of things. And there's good people who do good things. And there's really, really good people. But still, all of them come short. I come short. You come short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has a punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, you work a job? You work a job. You're a... Yep. And so your job, you get paid every week, every 2 weeks, whatever. That's your wage. That's what you've earned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, you and I have sinned, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not dead, are we?
Not yet.
No, we're not dead. We're alive. But the Bible has two deaths. The second death is called hell, the lake of fire and brimstone. In Revelation 21:8, every single one of us deserves that spiritual death, that separation from God. See, here's the hard part, Jeremy. When you and I have sinned... The first time we've sinned, one sin, the Bible says we've earned spiritual death. We have come short of heaven now. So if I died with my sin, because I'm a sinner, I would not go to heaven. You understand that? Now, so Jeremy, if you died, where would you deserve to go then? Would you go to heaven?
No.
No, you've sinned before, right? Everybody. There's nobody. So it's like this. Here's your good things. And so you did. Here's your good things over here, and here's your bad. You could do a million good things. It doesn't do anything to take away your bad. The problem isn't you didn't do enough good things. The problem is God says, I can't let you into heaven with one sin. We've got thousands of sin. Those sins right there, they do not go away when you do good. Okay? There's no way that you can earn your way to heaven. That's why you have to realize that your sin has a punishment and my sin has a punishment, and that you doing good won't get you to heaven. You follow that? Mm-hmm. So you don't deserve heaven. You understand that? Good. So I want to get him lost. Now, once he's lost, and if he doesn't understand that, if he doesn't understand he's not saved, if he doesn't understand, if he still thinks he can get to heaven, we're going to go back again. We're going to go to more verses, or we're going to go back to Romans 3:23. So you sinned before, right? Can sin go to heaven? Okay, so would you be able to go to heaven? I am not going to go farther until he's lost. Why? There's no use. He'll keep trusting himself. Okay, I have to get him to realize he needs a Savior. Now, at this point, the issue, and I'm watching as I'm talking to each person, Jeremy's not going to be this. Once in a while, as we talked about the other week, last week, we talked about repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want, except to repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Okay, there are people who have no repentance in their heart about their sin. Now, many people say, I know I've done some things wrong. That's fine. It doesn't have to be to bawl out or cry to God. You have to realize their sin is wrong and they're sorry for it. Now, they will usually tell me if they're not repentant. It's usually by belligerence. It's by pride. And they will bring out whatever sin that they're going to cling to and keep them from Jesus. Or are you saying that I have to give up living with my girlfriend to go to heaven? Now, when they do that, okay, I don't expect, they can be saved and not have character, okay? I was saved and I didn't get character the next day. I was still lazy the day after I got saved, believe it or not. And as a matter of fact, I'm still haven't gotten perfect, okay? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have character. It means the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and starts changing you and making you different. But here he is, somebody who has this sin they're clinging to, the rich young ruler and his money. You know, I always say, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Is it that important, that sin? I am not gonna bypass. Now, I'm not going to tell them you have to change your whole life to be saved, because that's not true. It's not biblical. But if they are not repentant, if they don't care about their sin, if they don't care and they're just, they want to justify themselves, and all these things stop people from getting saved in the Bible. Okay? I'm not telling them they have to give up all their sins. They can't give up their sins. They're not saved. They don't have the victory in Jesus yet. They don't have God inside of them. They can't be transformed yet. But they need repentance from their sin. They need a change of their heart. If the guy's mocking, saying, yeah, well, you know, it's no big deal, you know, in hell, I'll party with my friend. They're not ready to get saved. There's no repentance there. There's no sorrow. They've got to get to the point where they say, you know what, this sin is bad. It is sending me to hell. I wish I didn't have this. And that repentance, now, I don't ask them, are you repentant of your sin? They don't know what it means. They will, at that point, they tell me if they're not repentant, because they begin to get belligerent and defensive about their sin somewhere in the process, okay? And if they do that, then we're just going to say, hey, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul, you know, and I'm going to use the scriptures. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to use the scriptures all throughout. Why? Because the scriptures are powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, quick and powerful. My words, my way of presenting the gospel is fine and good and everything else, but the word of God is a supernatural spiritual sword that stabs in. It also gives them faith. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes I'll have people say, you know, I've seen this so many times. Somebody will say, well, you know, I'm not sure I believe all the Bible, or I'm not sure about God or anything. You know what's amazing? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many times, by the time I'm done witnessing to them, they believe. I don't know how to explain it, but I'll get done, and I'll say, so, would you like to accept Christ? And they'll say yes, and we'll pray and accept Christ. If you die right now, where'd you go? To go to heaven. All their doubts are dispelled. The Holy Spirit was speaking. The Word of God is speaking. So I always give them. I'm not going to spend 3 hours debating with them about a show on the Discovery Channel. Okay? I want to get to the gospel. Okay? Now, sometimes you have to present that stuff, and I will. So we're going to use a lot of Bible, because the Bible is powerful. And we're going to use the Word of God. And it's not just our opinion that matters. It's what the Bible says that matters. And so we'll present in the Bible. So usually when I'm witnessing to somebody, the devil sees they're slipping away. So what the devil does is try to distract everything away from it. Okay, very common in witnessing to somebody. The devil doesn't want that soul to be saved. The devil starts getting them to get distracted. And boy, I've seen many soul hunters chase rabbit trails. So Jeremy's going to ask me a question.
So Pastor Byram, I know you're saying a lot of stuff and you're reading a lot of Bible verses, but what about UFOs? I heard a famous pastor on TV, and he was talking about UFOs and how angels come down in UFOs and pick up people that are going to be saved and pick them up to heaven. And he was talking about Elijah and the flaming chariot in 1 Kings and how that's about, and he was talking about UFOs and how all the different sightings of UFOs are angels coming down to earth and picking up people and taking them up to heaven and stuff.
And so they're going to ask, they're not usually as long-winded as him, but they're going to ask whatever question. And it's a strange thing. You will be surprised. You're just right in the middle of talking about, you know, Jesus or sin or whatever, and all of a sudden, question UFOs, or what do you think about chemtrails, or what do you think about, why do bad things happen to good people, or I heard books of the Bible were taken out. All these things I'll bring up right in the middle. It's weird. It's like nothing to do with what we're talking about. Here's what I do. Always works. It's universal. I say, that's a great question. Let me finish what we're doing here, and then if we get done, you can ask me that afterward, okay? They will never ask you about it afterward. They just don't. It's just a distraction. One in a million will ask you afterward. Most of the time, when they get saved, that's the devil that's got thrown away. And very rarely... once in a while, I feel like their question pertains to salvation, or I feel like, you know, they're just not going to get off this. Let me just answer real quick. No. Okay. Anyway. But I'll answer a question. I'll take a few minutes if I have time, if it's the right situation. If, you know, sometimes you're at the check stand, sometimes you're wherever. But I will. Most important thing is the gospel. Okay. The most important thing is salvation. That's, see, they're in darkness, the Bible says, over and over. We'll read about them being in darkness in Ephesians 4 later. It's all over the place. They're in darkness. They're not going to understand the life, the truth of life, all the deep questions. They're not going to understand that stuff until they're saved. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and He enlightens you. But they're not going to understand all the questions they have. Not until they're saved. So I got to get them to salvation. The rest of it sort of settles itself out. So I said, that's a great question. Afterward, ask me about that, and I'll tell you. Now, Jeremy, we decided we were going to heaven. We're lost. Now I'm with him in the same boat. We don't deserve to go to heaven. Now I got good news for you. The Bible says, even though God hates that sin, and He can't let us into heaven with it, He loves us anyway. And then I give them Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, now we're getting to the gospel. I had to get him lost, but now we got the good news. God loves us while we were yet sinners. Now, really important here. So many, we've had people come from other churches. I said, I've always wanted to go witnessing. Let me go with you. And we'll be talking and witnessing. And they will jump in and say, you need to go to church. You're not going to heaven. You need to turn your life around. You can't do that. That's unbiblical. But you know most Christians witness like that? They preach morality. They can turn over a new leaf and they still have their sin. Okay? It is, so many people have offended their family and fought with their family about, you need to quit drinking. They're not saved. They need Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ can set them free from their alcohol. Now, you might, that sin might stand in the way of them getting saved. Understand if they're not repentant or they cling to it or whatever. But I want to say, you need to get them lost and get them to Jesus. Jesus, get them to Jesus. Jesus straightens them out. But don't try to straighten out a lost person. If you could straighten them out, you could make them completely moral. Their past sin is still going to keep them from heaven. Okay? You've got to bring them to Jesus. Jesus will change them. Listen, I didn't change till I got saved. Okay? And so you got to get them saved. And so they're lost now. So Jeremy, God loves us. It says he showed how much He loved us. Now, you've heard this before, but many people don't understand this really why. Now, I'm going to give them who Jesus is here, real briefly. The average American has the picture of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, all that stuff. They already believe that, okay? The problem is that when you're witnessing a Muslim, you need to convince them he's not a prophet, he's the Son of God. But when you're witnessing the average person, you have to convince them. You don't have to convince them that Jesus is the Son of God. They already know that. So Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. He came to earth. He was the Son of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Then he went and He died on the cross. Now, He was the Son of God. He didn't have to die on the cross. That'd be like a kindergartner killing you and me. I mean, He could have destroyed the whole world. But He let Himself die on the cross. You know why He died on the cross, Jeremy?
Sort of, not really.
Okay. The average person will usually say right there, for our sins? Because they've heard that. Jesus died for our sins, okay? So I say it's for our sins. And so Jesus died for your and my sins. Remember He said we can't earn our way to heaven by being good? See, if we could have earned our way to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Okay? So Jesus, your sin and my sin. Jesus didn't have to die, but God loved you so much, instead of you suffering for your sins, He on the cross took all of your punishment. Him being God, He could take all of our eternal punishment and suffer it all at once. So He died on the cross, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. I always include the whole gospel because 1 Corinthians 15 says the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. So I include all three. So, and then He's raised from the dead. Now, Bible says you got to believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9. Okay? So, Jeremy, do you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask them that because the Bible says you have to believe that for salvation. Okay? And so, okay, good. You believe Jesus rose from the dead? Now, so Jesus died for your sins. He paid for what you did wrong. Now, I usually illustrate this in another way just to make sure they get it, that they did something wrong, Jesus suffered for it. Now, so let's say, Jeremy, you went over to Fred Meyer, and I'll pick whatever store is near me. If they live by Best Buy, it's Best Buy or whatever. I say, let's say you went over to Fred Meyer and you sold $1,000 worth of stuff, and here comes the manager and the police, and they're about to arrest you, and they're coming to handcuff you. And I say, well, what did he do? And they said he sold $1,000. And I say, what has to happen for him not to go to jail? And they said, well, you need to pay $1,000. So I say, well, you know what? I'll pay you guys. If I give you $1,000, will he be free? And they say, yes. So I take out $1,000, Jeremy, and I give it to them. Now, who did something wrong?
Me.
But who paid for it?
You.
That's right. So I would pay for what you did wrong so you wouldn't go to jail. Jesus never did anything wrong, but he suffered on the cross to pay for what we did. So he paid our price on the cross, and that's why he died. He did that because you and I can't be good enough to go to heaven. Now, there's one last thing you have to do to get to heaven. It's the first verse we started with, okay? And it guarantees heaven here. It says, 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." So there's one thing you have to do to go to heaven. That's believe. Now, believe in the Bible is a lot stronger than what you and I think of believe. For example, the devil believes that Jesus died on the cross. He believes in God, but he's not going to heaven. Okay? It's because believing the Bible means it's stronger than what we think. Believing the Bible means to be dependent upon something, to trust in. It's like if you couldn't drive, you were blind, you had 10 DUIs, and you couldn't drive at all, you got in the car and let me drive. It doesn't matter how bad a driver you are because you're trusting me. Okay, you're believing in me to get you there safely. And so believing means to trust in. What you have to do is what I did, and I give my testimony. Because in the Bible, people in the Bible were witnessing, oftentimes gave their testimony. Okay? So I'm going to give my testimony and tell you, I used to think that I had to be good. I found out that I couldn't be good enough. And I said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to save me. I realize I was not going to heaven." And so I'm going to give my testimony here. I usually tell them how I found out that I wasn't, how I got saved. And because they're kind of wondering the process, they don't quite kind of know. And I'll tell them I prayed and accepted Christ and asked him to save me. And he became my Savior and my sins are washed away and he changed my life. So I'm going to tell them my testimony. And I said, then what I did is I believed that Jesus was my way to heaven. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes the Father but by me." And I'll usually give John 14:6 right there. So right there it says, if you believe, you trust in Jesus, you know you have eternal life. That make sense to you?
Yep.
So God says, now here's where I'm bringing it back to him. Now God says one thing you have to do, believe. When I asked you earlier, you said you thought you're going to heaven because you didn't kill people, you didn't rob banks, you're a pretty good person, you didn't beat up your brother. Now I'm doing this with my fingers. This is God's way, one thing. This is your way, and you said these four or five things. What are they were? I said, what you have to do is stop trusting these things because that's you being the Savior. And the only way you can save yourself is having never sinned in your entire life, and you already said you sinned.
Okay.
So you can't save yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you have come short, but Jesus paid the price because even though God doesn't love the sin, he loves you, and he wants you in heaven. So he's paid for all your sin. You have to do one thing. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You already said you believed everything. You believe you sinned. You believe, and I always review one more time. You believe you sinned. You believe that there's a punishment for that sin. You believe God loved you and Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Now you believe that Jesus is what you need to trust. Now here's what I do. I make it easy for them because God wants them to be saved, okay? I make the process there. People are scared of religion and church. They're afraid they have to do a ritual, go get baptized in the mud puddle over there or whatever. They don't have any idea what they're supposed to do there. They're nervous, and they don't know. And so I'm going to go, and I'm just going to tell them how simple it's going to be. I'm going to make it easy. If they want to trust Christ, God is willing that none would perish. God wants them to be saved. If they believe, they want it. The Lord wants them to be saved. I want them to be saved. They want to be saved. So I don't make it real complicated, okay? This is exactly what I ask it, because I'm not going to say, "Do you want to pray with me right now?" They're saying, "I don't know how to pray. I don't want to pray in front of somebody." Okay, that's what they're going to say. They get nervous. I don't say, "Do you want to pray with me right now?" I say this way. I say, "Jeremy, if Jesus was willing to take you just the way you are, forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it?"
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's how I ask it. If Jesus was willing to take you just the way you are, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? That's what I ask. Okay. And then I'll tell him what I'm going to do. And then he has a choice. I'll say, "Okay, just a minute. We're going to pray together in just a second. I'm going to say a prayer. And a prayer won't save you, but the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I'm going to say a prayer. I didn't know what to pray today except Jesus. So someone helped me, and I said a prayer. And I'm just going to tell him what we're going to pray. Something like this. I prayed something like this. "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. But I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I need you to save me. Please save me from my sin." And I will just go through like that with a prayer. I will say the prayer. And then what I'll do is I'll say like this. And I'll tell them what we're going to do. We'll pray in just a second. I'll say, "Dear Lord." and you'll say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner." Now, the prayer won't save you, and a prayer won't save you. It's the faith in trusting Christ. But prayer is a way of them telling God, okay, I want this. It's they're accepting Christ is what they're doing. It's a way to do it. You don't have to do it through prayer. You can confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised from the dead. You can be like the Ethiopian eunuch and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And God's not trying to trick somebody into, his arms are open. He's trying to get them to come to him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's trying to get them to believe on Jesus Christ as a Savior and save them. The simplest way for them to remember and just do it and get it done is to ask him. Because the Bible says you can do that. And so I'm going to lead him in a prayer. So Jeremy, in just a second, I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank God for the chance to talk to you. I appreciate your time. And I know you're watching the football game and your team is losing anyway, so don't worry about it. And so I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm just going to thank God for the chance to talk to you. Afterward, I'll say a prayer that you can say to God. And you don't worry about me. You just talk to God and say this prayer. Okay? Now, let's pray together. And this is just what I'll do. Just like this, I'll say, "Lord, thank you for Jeremy. Thank you for the chance to talk to him. And thank you for him listening to the gospel. I pray today he'd be saved and you would help him to come to Jesus as the only way to heaven and trust him alone for salvation." Now, Jeremy, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, if you'd like to ask Christ to save you, just pray this to God. Say this: "Dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I know that I have sinned.
I know that I have sinned,
and I don't deserve heaven.
I don't deserve heaven.
I trust Jesus.
I trust Jesus
as my only way to heaven.
As my only way to heaven.
I believe He died for me.
I believe He died for me,
and rose again from the dead.
And rose again from the dead.
And that He is the Son of God.
And that He is the Son of God.
I pray You'd save me.
I pray You'd save me.
Take away my sin."
Take away my sin.
"And give me a home in heaven."
And give me a home in heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what you write. Something like that right there. The prayer is not systematic. I don't exactly pray the same prayer. Sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to, the prayer will change. If they brought up baptism to be saved three times and finally I convinced them, I'm going to say in the sinner's prayer of some sort, I'm going to say, "I am not trusting being baptized to go to heaven." I'll adjust it in those kind of ways. But that's what I'm going to do there. Now, afterward, I want to give him assurance of his salvation, okay? I want him to know he's saved. I want him to know the Bible says it. It's not an emotional feeling or anything. And so, Jeremy, I have them look at the verse. And I'll just say, "Jeremy, right here, look at this verse right here. It says, 'These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God.'" Who's the Son of God?
Jesus.
And believe. And you believe on him now? You're trusting him to save you? Okay. "Believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may," what's that word there?
No,
you have eternal life. Does it say think or hope?
Nope.
It says no. Like, you know your name, right?
Yep.
You know your age?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you also know you have eternal life. So if you died right now, where would you go?
Heaven.
Heaven. Now, sometimes if they say, "I don't know," then we're going to go back through it again because they didn't get it. That's okay. They've been hearing a lie about work salvation their entire life. They've been hearing lies about how to get to heaven, all these things, all their life. It takes a minute to really understand that Jesus is a Savior, not me. And so if he says, "I don't know, I think if I'm good, I'll go to heaven," I'll go back. And we'll just start. And I'll say, "Well, let's go back and look at these verses again. I'm just going to go through it again." Because I want them to know and understand. Okay, the Bible says in the parable of the sower, some of them did not understand, and the devil sold away the seed. I want him to understand, and so that is how we're gonna do that, and we're gonna make sure it's. But he knows, and he has it settled. All right, great. Well, thanks. We have church tomorrow, and I'm gonna try to get him to church because they gotta go to church to grow. We're gonna make sure we get him in a good Bible preaching church, which is ours, and because they live near here. If I'm in, you know, some other country or some other city, I'm going to get their name and information. I'm going to find a good church for them and help them find a good church. If they live in Enumclaw, you know, they probably won't drive to church here. So I'm going to try to find them a good church out that direction. But I'm going to try to find them a good church because every Christian needs a good church. All right. Anything else? All right.
I don't think so.
There you go. He forgot. No UFO questions. All right. Why? Because their questions usually go away. Their questions usually go away. And you'd be surprised once you get them. And there's a lot of other things to follow up, and I'm not doing follow up today. It's just simply how to win them to Christ. and how we do it. There's other ways to do it. There's other ways I illustrate things. I have a lot of different things I use and ways and verses. Sometimes I go in different directions. Sometimes I do different with children than I do an adult. But that's the basic, typical person that I talk to. That is how I go through the gospel with them. And that is how I present the gospel to the average person. All right.